Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts, chapter 27. We'll read verses 27 through 32 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded at 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as they were to have anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, "Except these abide in the ship, he cannot be saved." Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of a boat and let her fall off. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Lord, what a wonderful day we've had. Father, lives that have been changed and spirits that have been strengthened and lifted. Now, Holy Spirit of God, please do your work your way. We need you again. Father, fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. May we leave a whole lot less like ourselves and much more like you so we could help a hurting and dying world, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
For those of you that do not know, that's my new daughter-in-law. I'm very proud of her, and she is a very godly lady. And what a delightful addition to both my family and to our church. And someone that can control my son. All right. Well, this morning I told you that tonight I wanted to speak to you on the subject, don't let the lifeboats fall. We read earlier from Acts chapter 27, and let me slowly but surely start you somewhat near the beginning of Acts chapter 27. Now, the portion of scripture that we read came in the latter part of the chapter. Let me bring you up to date on what's happening here. In Acts 27, the Apostle Paul had been taken captive, and he was being put on trial. Now, if you don't know a lot about the Bible, Paul was not a bad man. He was a good man. He was out serving God and getting people saved and changing lives. But there were some religious people that didn't like that. Let me promise you something, folks. Anytime somebody's really accomplishing something for Christ, the religious people get upset because it makes them feel uncomfortable. You see, they're comfortable playing religion while somebody else gets serious about it. What ends up happening here is Paul is arrested and he's being put on trial. King Agrippa was sending Paul to finish his trial before Caesar, and he was being sent to Rome. He would sail on a ship along the coast of Asia, and while sailing on that ship, they came across a lot of problems. In Acts 27:4, the Bible says the winds became very contrary. Then in verse number 7, it says they barely made it to one area and then a long creek, but the winds would not help them. Understanding they didn't have outboard motors on their ships, the wind had to push them, but somehow the wind was not letting them accomplish what they wanted to in regard to getting to Crete. And in verse number 8, it said they hardly passed by a place called Fair Havens. So what's happening here is they're trying to get to their final destination, and they would go from a certain point to another point in their sailing, but each time they would set their sights on another destination, the wind was contrary and would blow them off course, and it was very, very dangerous. In verse number 9, it says they spent much time in sailing. In other words, it's as if they were lost. The wind would get them off track, and then they'd use their compass and get back on track, and the storm was a dangerous storm. Paul, of course, was on the ship. He was the preacher on the ship. Though he was captive on the ship, he was still a man of God. And in verse number 10, he tells them, he said, "Folks, we're in danger. This ship is in danger, but not only is the vessel in danger, we're in danger. The people riding on the ship are in danger." But they wouldn't believe Paul. They said, "You're just a dumb old Baptist preacher. We know what we're doing. We're going to sail on." Paul said, I'm telling you, we're in a lot of danger here. See, I believe that God had led Paul and told Paul that there was danger, but they would not listen. So, they launched out again from the destination at that time and headed further into their journey. And they had more problems. By the time you get to verse number 14, the Bible says they had tempestuous winds. And those were very angry winds, if you will. They said in verse number 15, they couldn't even control the ship. It was such wild. The winds were just wild and the current was strong. In verse number 16, it says they had to do a bunch of work on the ship. The wind had begun to damage that ship. In verse 18, it said they were exceedingly tossed by the tempest. And they even had to start throwing some things overboard. In verse number 19, they had to start casting off even very important parts of their ship. They cast out the tackling of the ship. In verse number 20, the Bible says the storm was so thick, they could not see the stars. They could not see the sun. There was no small tempest, the Bible says. Now, you have to understand something. They would use the sun. They would use the stars to guide them as they would be out on the ship. They could not see the land as best as they could. They would have a compass type of a device. But the truth is, they'd use the stars. They'd use the sun to get their direction. In verse number 21, Paul speaks up. Now remember, at the beginning of the chapter, Paul had said, I think about verse 10, he said, it's going to be dangerous. We're in danger. We're going to lose the ship. Some of us could lose our lives. But they didn't listen. Now, after storm, after storm, after storm, days in the darkness, in verse 21, Paul says, I told you so. I told you it was going to be this way. Suddenly, they found the ship in shallow waters. The Bible says that they found themselves in 20 fathoms of water. Now, a fathom is how they would measure the depth of the water. And in a moment, they're in 15 fathoms of water. They've lost one-fourth of the water, and it's not deep enough. The men on the ship, they look out and they say, there's got to be rocks. There's got to be rocks. We're going to hit the rocks. The water's too shallow. And the shipmen, they begin to flee. They want to jump out of the boat. They've got to figure out what to do. So they grab a lifeboat, and they start letting the lifeboats down the side of the ship. And how would they do that? Well, they would be on a rope, and they would lower it down the side of the ship on a rope, like a pulley type of a thing. But Paul speaks up, and he says, now, fellas, you better listen to me this time. Don't get off of this ship. Stay in the big ship. Don't get off the ship or you're sure to be destroyed. Well, fortunately, these people had some sense. See, the first time the preacher told them the preacher told them, don't take off here. They did it anyway. About halfway through the journey, Paul said, now, fellas, I told you once, are you going to learn your lesson? I know what I'm talking about. And they didn't listen again. Now, the third time, Paul said, now, I'm telling you, don't get off the ship. The safety is in the ship. And so, they listened. And thank God they did. But they did a silly thing. They cut the lifeboats and let them splash into the water. Why in the world did they do that? Paul had not said anything about those lifeboats. Paul just said, stay in the ship. And so somehow they decided, we'll cut these lifeboats and we'll let them splash into the water. Well, I'm glad they listened and stayed in the ship, but I don't know what they were thinking when they let those lifeboats go. Because when we get further along in the story, in verse 41, the ship did wreck. They did get into the rocks. The waves came and it splashed and tore that big ship into little bits and little pieces. The water was violent. And the Bible says all the people then had to jump overboard. And the Bible says in verse number 44, it tells us that they floated to safety on boards and broken parts of the ship. Why did they have to float to safety on boards and broken parts of the ship? I'll tell you why. Because they foolishly cut the lifeboats loose. They somehow in a panic and in not thinking, they cut those lifeboats loose and they did listen to Paul and stay in the ship. But if they would have just left the ship like it was and kept the lifeboats, when the ship began to crash, they would have had their lifeboats. But they let the lifeboats fall. And the lifeboats had long since been destroyed and taken out to sea. You know something? This story almost depicts what many Christians do. You see, there are some of you, you're having a terrible journey in life. There have been a lot of storms that have come your way. Some self-inflicted. Some of you, you got saved later in life and you look back and you say, it is no wonder I'm having trouble. Boy, some of the things I did, I wasn't real smart in my younger days. Now you're saved. But you see, you say, boy, I've faced some storms in life. And you've had a rough go of it. Maybe self-inflicted, or maybe it's just some of the things that happen. And just so you all know, we're all going to face storms in life. Nobody gets out of life without some storms. But you're having a rough journey. You're seeing the winds. And some of you say, it feels like, but oh, I've not seen the stars in days. I've not seen the sun in days. The wind blows me off course. Some of you in your own Christian life, you say, Brother Owen, I'll be going along and doing fine. And the next thing you know, I'm days off of my proper path. I'm backslidden. I'm away from God. And your life has been rough. Now, most of you were warned at one time or another by a preacher, just like the Apostle Paul. He warned you. Some preacher, somebody said to you, be careful now. The path that you're taking could be a path of destruction. You're going to face the storms of life if you go out on that sea at this time. Oh, but you didn't listen. So you went out into life. You were there and the storms came. Now, don't make the mistake of cutting your lifeboats loose when it gets tough. You see, many of us will cut that lifeboat loose. Now, the ship, I believe the ship is the church. And let me advise you, stay in the church. It's the safest place to be. Just stay in the church. Hey, if you're mad at the preacher, do yourself a favor. Stay in the church. If you're mad at somebody in the church, stay in the church. You say, well, I just don't like the way it smells around here. Put cotton up your nose and stay in the church. It's the safest place. I'm telling you, my dear friend, out there in the world, the people that are not in the ship are being overwhelmed by the waves of life. You say, oh, Brother Owen, it's tough enough here in my marriage right now, being in the ship. Well, let me tell you something. If you were not in the ship of a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church, you would be even more overwhelmed with your relationship.
Right.
But whatever you do, don't cut your lifeboats loose. See, Brother Owens, what do you mean, don't cut the lifeboats loose? Well, the lifeboat here represents something or someone that you might need later in life, though you do not need it or need them right now. You see, that's what that lifeboat was. You stayed in the ship, and when the ship could take you no further, or if there was a crash, then you could climb in that lifeboat, and there was a way to get to shore safely. Oh, now, the old church, she'll keep a going. But I tell you this, God brings some lifeboats in our life. Let's be careful that we don't cut them loose and let them float out to sea or be destroyed before we need them. Let me tell you about some of the lifeboats that I get concerned that Christians might cut loose and let them go, and then you won't have you'll feel like you don't have access to them later in life. For instance, young people, don't cut or don't drop the lifeboats of your parents. You say what? The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. But young people, let me tell you something. You be careful now that you don't get this idea, well, I don't need my mom and dad anymore. I don't need them to tell me what to do. I know what I need to do. Many a young person has decided that they didn't need mom and dad's advice anymore, mom and dad's counsel anymore, and they take a knife out and they cut the ropes of the lifeboat of mom and dad loose and let them crash and go out on into the sea where it almost seems like they're unreachable or unusable. Young people, you treat your mom and dad right because you're going to need them someday. You're going to need the protection and the guidance and the love of mom and dad someday. Some of you young people, you mistreat your parents. You talk back to them. You disobey them. You deceive them. You lie to them. You steal from them. You take advantage of them. When they're not around, you do things that they would never approve of because you think, I don't need my mom and dad's rules. I don't need my mom and dad to tell me what to do and who to spend my time with and how to dress and how to act. And what some of you are doing is you are, in essence, cutting the lifeboat of your parents loose, saying, I don't want that thing. I don't need their help. Oh, but may I tell you, while you're busy driving a wedge between you and your mom and dad, you better not cut that lifeboat loose. You may need your mom and dad again someday. And none of us get too old to need mom every once in a while. And none of us get too old that we don't need daddy every once in a while. You think you know all you need to know. No, you don't. You don't know everything you need to know. You think you don't need mom and dad anymore. Yes, you do need mom and dad. One day you'll realize you don't know everything you thought you knew. One day you'll realize that mom and dad were a wealth of wisdom. And many of you have some good, godly Christian parents. And you better thank God that you have them. Because, hey, moms and dads that love the Lord sure do make good lifeboats in life. And every parent in here, you ought to decide that you want to be a godly lifeboat. You want to be there with good, godly advice. And you want to be there to help your children when they need you. Some of you one day, young people, are going to wake up and realize you cut the lifeboat of mom and dad loose. You pushed them away from you. You said, I don't need you anymore. I don't want you in my life. Don't tell me what to do. And the older you get, the closer you get to that senior year in high school, and after you've graduated, you begin to think, I want to be my own man. I want to make my own decisions. I want to do it my own way. Let me tell you something. Mom and dad love you, and they're there as a lifeboat to help you. Don't push them away, because if you crash your life, let me tell you, mom and dad will come sailing along in a lifeboat, and they'll be the ones that'll love you and pick you up when everybody else would like to just sink your ship. Mom and dad will be there for you. Sometimes I just need to talk to my mama. Sometimes I just need to talk to my mom. I'm 44 years old, but I'm not too big for my mama. I love my mom. I'm just so glad that I can call my mom and she'll love on me and encourage me. I'm so glad that I can call my dad, and my dad's there. He's a lifeboat in my life. I really don't come across many things that get me down to the point where I need to run to somebody. I learned to run to Jesus a long, long time ago. But I'll tell you this, if I ever thought that my ship was sinking, I'll tell you who I'd call. I'd call my daddy. I'd say, Dad, the water and the waves are overwhelming me, and Dad, I've got to have help. And there's no doubt in my mind, Dad would be there. Dad would have a fog horn, and Dad would say, Son, here I am, climb in the lifeboat. Now, some of you, you're pushing the lifeboat of mom and dad away. Don't do that. Don't do that. I was looking back at Brother Tanner this morning. Boy, he got excited about that song that Jimmy Lindsay was singing. I watched him raise his hand up, and then I glanced at Mrs. Mellirons, and I thought, it's good. Isn't it good to have a lifeboat of a daddy that loves the Lord? You parents, make sure you're the right kind of lifeboat. And you young people, don't cut the lifeboat of mom and dad loose. Stay up close to mom and dad, and you keep yourself right with mom and dad. You may need them someday. I fear for us because we want to cut certain lifeboats loose. How about the lifeboat of past experience? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31, the Bible says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Here the Bible is telling us there's a thing called the reproofs of life. Now what is the reproof of life? That's where life teaches you some lessons. It's funny how life can teach you some lessons. Mom tried to teach you the lesson, you wouldn't listen. Dad tried to teach you the lesson, you wouldn't listen. But life comes along and can bend you over its knee and teach you some very valuable lessons. My mom said, now, you don't want to touch that pan up there on the stove, it's hot. I was knee high. Don't touch that pan, it's hot. Now, I've always been the kind that if somebody said don't do something, I knew it had to be fun, and I knew I had to try it. They were just trying to steal fun from me. I can remember touching the pan. It was hot. And I learned a lesson. I've not touched many hot pans ever since. I remember my mom telling me one time, she said, son, now don't try to cut your own hair.
Tell me not to cut my own hair.
Doesn't look hard. There ain't much of it. How hard could that be? Well, I looked like somebody stuck my head in a blender when I got done. I was so embarrassed. I remember my mom crying and said, I don't think I'm ever going to get this cleaned up. What a mess you made. I learned some lessons in life. Hey, let's let the reproofs of life teach us. And I fear for us because some of us are learning some lessons from life, but we're cutting a lifeboat loose. We're not listening. We're not remembering the lessons that we've learned. Someone, you make a mistake in the area of your finances. Then you turn around and make the same mistake again. You know what happened? You cut the lifeboat loose of that lesson the first time, and you never let your ship come home. You listen to me. When you go through a hardship in life, what do you think we're doing? Get your eyes off the hardship, get your eyes on the learning, and figure out what that thing's all about. Everything's falling apart, everything's so bad. Open up your eyes and study the book of the reproof of life and let God teach you, and you'll never have to go through that again. I fear for people that will make the same financial mistake over and over and over again. Boy, you make a mistake in the rearing of a child. You say, oh, I blew it there. Oh, I lost my temper and I said things I should have never said. Well, let me teach something. Why not keep the lifeboat intact of what you learned? Don't cut that lifeboat loose and try not to do that again. There's so many times we repeat the same mistakes over and over again in our relationships. Hey, once you do something wrong and you reap the consequences, let the pain of the consequence become a lifeboat and let it teach you and use that lifeboat later on. Don't cut the lifeboat loose. Don't separate yourself from that learning. Hey, allow that learning to be a part of your life. You may need it to salvage your marriage someday, or salvage your child someday, or salvage your finances someday. Oh, we go into sin, we reap the consequences, and then we say, well, that only happened to me this one time. We'll go right back out into the same sin. I don't understand. First of all, I don't quite understand people that go out and they get inebriated, go out and get drunk, and they drive on our roads. That's wrong. If you're a drunk, at least have enough common courtesy to leave the rest of us alone. But I don't think I understand somebody that will get picked up for driving under the influence 1 week and 3 months later do the same thing, and 3 months later do the same thing. I'm glad they're going to start taking their driver's license away from them, and I'm glad some of them are just going to go to prison. Look, if you're not bright enough to learn and keep that lifeboat intact so you don't make the same mistake again, you probably need to put in jail. They call it the reproofs of life. Those lessons, those experiences, they're to be lifeboats for you. Don't cut them loose. Keep them handy. Instead of learning our lesson about sin's results, we cut the lifeboat loose and we lose the experiences that God gave us to teach us. I understand someone messing up their life because we're all sinners. I don't understand somebody messing up their life in one area and hurting and bleeding and being devastated by it, then a year later turning around and doing the very same silly thing again. That I don't understand. What happened? Evidently, they cut the lifeboat loose and decided, I don't need the learning from that experience. That's never going to happen to me again. They turn around with the same silly problem all over again. You know, you ought to learn your lesson about criticism in the church. Do you know the times where I've criticized people and then they found out about it? I didn't like the consequences. I hated facing it. But you know how silly we are? We'll criticize somebody behind their back and then we'll realize it was wrong and we'll feel conviction and we'll try to get that all straightened out and make apologies and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it. 2 months later, we're criticizing somebody else. Don't cut the lifeboat loose. That lifeboat was there to train you and to teach you. How about running with the wrong crowd? How many times do you have to get in trouble by being with the wrong crowd before you're going to learn your lesson? Don't run with the wrong crowd. Don't cut the lifeboat loose of the lessons that you have learned. You know, there are some good experiences that I've had that I've learned from. Hey, there are some things that if I do it, it turns out right. You know what I heard somebody say one time? If you ever have a good day, stop at the end of the day, write down what you did, and then just do it again tomorrow. That might work. There are some good experiences that I had. The greatest days in my life have been in church. So you know what I like spending all my time doing? Going to church.
I have wonderful days when I'm in church. Hey, the greatest days in my life are the days that I spent time in my Bible and spent time with my Lord in prayer and told others about Jesus Christ. Those were great days. So you know what I decided to do? I just start reading my Bible. I'll start praying. I'll start telling others about Christ. You see, I had a good experience. Why would I want to drive a wedge between me and that experience? Why wouldn't I want to use that lifeboat? And so, be careful. Don't cut the lifeboat of past experience loose. Too many of us don't listen, and we're going to shipwreck our lives someday. You know something? Don't you take the things that you have been... Hey, when you hear something taught, when you hear something preached, be careful. You may not be spiritual enough to know whether or not you need that. And if I were you, instead of rejecting it and pushing it away, you might say, you know something, I think I'm going to keep that around because I might not be spiritual enough to know whether or not I need it, and most of us need it all. But in an unspiritual state, we push it away and say, well, that's not for me. And what you're doing is cutting a lifeboat loose. God was bringing that teaching into your life because you were going to soon need it. But what you're going to do is push it away, panic at the moment when the catastrophe hits. You're going to say, I didn't know what to do. We told you what to do. But you rejected it when it was preached because you're not going to need that. You don't need to be that serious about your Christianity. What do? We cut the lifeboat loose of the experiences that God brings us. Hey, don't cut the lifeboat loose of the things that you've learned, the principles from God's Word. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You hear something taught. It does not immediately apply to your situation, so you sleep during the service. You're bored with it. Well, I taught on marriage, and so you were an unmarried young person. You say, it's going to be years before I'm married, but I'm going to tell you something. It will come. Oh, but a young person, they hear me teach on it, and they shut it out, and they're disinterested. You know what we were doing? We were tying some lifeboats onto the ship of your life so you could use it someday. You don't prepare for marriage 1 week before you get hitched. You prepare for marriage all the way through your youth. And every time I preach on marriage, every young person ought to shut up and say, I'm going to listen. I'm going to put everything I can, every buoy, every life vest I can, I'm going to put it inside my lifeboat, and when I get married, I'll have it in case the storms of life come. But we cut the lifeboat loose of the principles and the truths that we learn. We think we'll never face a particular problem, so who needs that teaching? You say, Brother Owens, you were trying to help marriages a couple Sunday mornings ago, and I compared marriage to some medical terms, and you say, but my marriage is so good, we've been married for 25 years, and I mean, we're experiencing pure bliss. I know marriages in the 26th year began to experience pure hell. And if you shut out the teaching on how to keep your marriage strong, you cut the lifeboat loose, and when you face the winds of adversity, you're going to regret pushing the truth away that you didn't seem to think that you needed at that time. Someone teaches on finances, and you say, don't worry, I don't have any money. Don't have to worry about it. And you probably won't ever have any. Somebody comes along, and some of you younger married couples, I teach on the sufferings of life. And I talk about when your health begins to fail you and how you deal with that. And you say, but Brother Owens, I'm strong. I'm capable. I don't have to listen to that. I'm not interested in that. That doesn't matter to me. My wife and I, we're as healthy as we can be. Yes, my friend, and in a matter of the winking of an eye, your health can go, and you're going to wish that you would have listened when I taught you how to deal with the sufferings of life. But we push the lifeboat out away from the ship. We say, I don't need that right now. I say to some young couple, listen, as I teach on rearing children, you say, well, we don't have any kids. We don't plan to have any for a couple years. Well, it's time to start learning now before you get them. I'd even change your mind about wanting to have them. I say to some of you, I stand up here and I comfort people who have lost loved ones. And you say, well, my mom and my dad are healthy, and then my family is healthy. As you carry everybody's burden, Brother Owens, you know, I don't foresee anybody dying anytime soon. Anytime soon is not the issue. Everybody here will lose a loved one, and I recommend to you that when I help people to understand there's a heaven, when I teach people how to carry the burdens and the heartaches of a lost loved one, set up, strap that lifeboat tight to the ship of your life. You're going to need it someday. Don't drop your lifeboats. Keep them in close to you. I'll tell you something. I've tried to learn through the experiences of life. I was sitting with Dr. Wendell Evans as I was the vice president of Hiles Anderson College. Maybe one of the greatest compliments ever paid me. He said this. He said, "One thing I like about you, Jeff," he said, "you may make mistakes as you're learning the administrative skills of an organization our size." He said, "but I've never watched you make the same mistake twice." He said, "you are a learner, and when you make a mistake, you learn from your mistake and you improve on it." Now, folks, every one of us, we ought to learn from our mistakes. And Brother Brett, I'm going to turn this microphone on here if I could. I went through Bible college, and as I was being trained, I'll tell you something. I sat there in all of my classes, and not one of my classes was unimportant to me. I promise you, God knows my heart. I walked into every English class, and I decided I needed to know the parts of speech. I needed to know something about grammar. I wanted to learn it. Every class that I went to, when they taught me how to write, when they taught me grammar, when they were teaching me things that, hey, I watch other people in my classes sleeping. I watch other people in my classes messing around. I watch other people in my classes joking. I watch other people in my classes not take it seriously. I went into class and I studied. I studied from the moment I got there to the moment I left. I did all of my homework. I never cheated. I never took anybody else's information. I took my test. I studied hard. And I'll tell you something. I know a lot of the people that went to the very same college that I went to, their life has not brought forth much fruit. They sat in the same classes, they had the same teachers, they went to the same chapel services, they were taught from the same books, they were taught from the same Bible. What in the world were they doing? I'll tell you what they were doing. They were sitting there during class saying, "I don't need this right now, it is boring to me, I'm not interested in it." So they cut the lifeboat loose, pushed it away from their life. Then when the life storm came, they did not have a lifeboat, and they had to swim to shore on all broken pieces of what bit of their life and ministry was left. But I thank God, folks. I want to tell you something about your preacher. I've got so many lifeboats on my ship, I don't know what to do with them all. I am so excited about all the things that I've learned, I cannot wait until I get to put it all into practice. Everything that I learned, I wanted to take it in and absorb it and prepare to use it. I'd sit there and listen to older preachers, 30 and 40 years older than me. I was not bored with it. I was not bored that they talked a little slower. I was not bored that they walked a little slower. I was not bored with any of that. I sat there and I listened. I said, "you know something? One of these days I'm going to use that. One of these days I'm going to use that. Hey, fellas, fill my lifeboat. Hey, just fill me up. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to learn." But the average Christian, they'll listen to a preacher preach, walk out of the church, they couldn't even tell you what he preached on the next morning. The joke was around our house. We'd ask our kids on Sunday morning on the way home from church, "what was the Sunday school lesson about?" And if they couldn't figure it out, they always gave this answer: "Jesus." Why? Well, it was always about Jesus. But for some of you, you are so well trained, it's pathetic. What are you doing with the training that you've received? Now, I know a bunch of you. What are you doing? I know people have sat in the same classes I took. What are you doing? Did you learn? Did you take it seriously? There are people in here, you've been in church twice as long as I have in your life. Why can't we get you to come back to church on Wednesday night? Didn't you learn from the same Bible I did? Then you go to Sunday school class. What are you doing? You've learned and you've learned and you've learned, and then you just cut the lifeboat loose and let it crash. Preacher stands up and preaches his heart out, and you listen, but you don't do anything about it. "I don't need that. That's not for me." But let me tell you something. The storms of life are going to overwhelm you someday, and you're going to wish to God you would have kept those truths and principles up close where they could salvage your life or somebody else's life. Somebody will come to me for counsel on Monday when I preach the whole sermon on their problem on Sunday. Now, I'm for people coming and getting counsel and getting help. Don't get me wrong. But it's almost as if they didn't hear a thing that I said on Sunday. It's almost as if, well, I must be the exception. Surely you don't mean that I should get right with God, read my Bible, pray, show up for church, go soul winning. That's probably not for me. That was for everybody else. Now, how do we solve my backslidden problem? Hey, boy, don't cut that lifeboat loose of the principles and the truths you've learned in life. I say to you, they cut the lifeboat loose. They shouldn't have. Paul said, stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. They listened, but for some reason, they cut the lifeboats loose. And when the ship did eventually crash, they had no lifeboats. They had to take the broken pieces of the ship to float to shore. They could have gone in luxury. What luxury? The lifeboat of that God had provided. Some of you, you're going to make it. You're going to float to shore on broken pieces of your life. But you could have had a lifeboat because God provided the training in advance. But you cut the lifeboat loose. You pushed your parents away. You pushed your experiences and reproofs of life away. You pushed away the preaching that was provided for you. So you end up with a shipwrecked life and a mess. You say, how did that happen? You cut the lifeboats loose. Don't cut the lifeboats loose. I would say what I'm about to say, whether or not it has anything to do with me. But let me tell you something. You be careful not to cut the lifeboat of the preacher loose in your life. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. You may not realize it. I do not say it because I am Jeff Owens. I say it because I am the pastor of this New Testament church. I do not exalt myself, but I will exalt my office. And let me tell you something. Whether you like it or not, there's a good chance you're going to need me someday. I'm not trying to exalt me, but I'm just telling you, by experience, I have sat where you sat. And no matter how strong you are, there'll come a day when your own personal character and your own spiritual walk with God will come a little short of what you need. And you're going to need somebody that's walked with God, that loves you, that will help you. And if I were you, I would not cut the lifeboat of the preacher loose in your life. Don't let that lifeboat fall. I may make you mad. And you may not like some of the things that I say, but whatever you do, don't decide one day, you know something, that's it, I've had it with him. Cut the lifeboat loose. I don't need him anymore. The day you give up on the preacher may be the day that you're giving up on yourself. You're going to need the man of God someday. Don't let your pride get you to the point where you say, well, I'll never ask him for help. Don't allow that to happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. One day shipwreck may come to your life and you may need the preacher. One day shipwreck may come to your husband or to your wife or to your children. It'd be a very wise thing for you not to make the preacher look bad in your children's eyes, because he may be their only hope someday. But because mom and dad have badmouthed the preacher, made the preacher look bad in the children's sight, when the children's lives begin to fall apart, the children say, well, old mom, all she ever did was take that long tongue and tear the preacher up, badmouth him. I'm not going to see him. And you might watch your son and daughter go down the tubes because you cut the lifeboat of the preacher loose. I'm not trying to protect me. I can handle about anything you're going to say about me. I'll tell you why. Anything you say about me is not as bad as the truth. I'm a dirty, rotten, low-down, good-for-nothing, filthy, scum-of-the-earth sinner. The only reason that I get to preach is because God couldn't find anybody else dumb enough to take the job. I took the job. I'm not trying to tell you I'm perfect. I'm not. You can say anything you want about me, and I am scum-of-the-earth. You're not going to bother me. But I'll tell you this. You may hurt yourself. I've got an opinion about me, and it's not so good. I've got an opinion about you, and it's wonderful. Your problem is you've got an opinion about me, and it's not so good. And you've got an opinion about yourself, and it's wonderful. If I were you, I would not cut the lifeboat of the man of God in your life loose. You may need it someday. Hard times come to everybody. you ever heard anything or studied the history of the Titanic, you would know this. They felt that the ship was invincible. They felt that the ship could never sink. So as thousands of people climbed into that ship, one thing that they did not have enough of were lifeboats. Why? They said, I will never get to the point where I need a lifeboat. So they thought the thing will never sink. They thought this ship is so tough and so capable, can take care of itself. It's not going to sink. We'll put enough lifeboats on there to make it look good, but there will not be enough lifeboats for all the people. And then the Titanic found out it was not as tough as what it thought. When the Titanic began to sink, fear raced through every deck of the ship, every level of the ship. You know what everybody started hearing? There are not enough lifeboats. There's some of you who think you're pretty tough. You think, I don't need the church. I don't need my mom. I don't need my dad. I don't need to obey the Bible. I don't need the old time way. And you're just like the Titanic. You think you don't need it. And so you are cutting lifeboats loose. And there are not enough lifeboats to salvage the things that you love. And one of these days when the tempestuous winds come and life begins to overwhelm you, you're going to be pretty embarrassed. You won't have enough lifeboats for your kids. You won't have enough lifeboats for your marriage. You won't even have enough lifeboats for yourself. People who are suicidal usually do not have lifeboats on which they can depend. They can't find anything stable enough to grab hold of to get them to shore. So they say, I'll just kill myself. You better be careful cutting the lifeboat of the preacher loose. You know, when this shipwreck time came, they needed the Apostle Paul. He told them trouble was ahead. They chose to cut the lifeboats loose. You know, it would seem like after all the troublesome times that they had experienced, that they would have known all the predictions that the man of God had made. It seems like they would have known how badly they needed the preacher. The preacher has the answer very many times. I know that's what I've learned in my life. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm the first to admit to that. But I'll tell you this. I go by a perfect book. Study it all the time, all day long, 7 days a week. Say, why? So you have a lifeboat when you need one. You say, yeah, you're preaching them sermons like you do. I'm not preaching sermons. I'm preparing lifeboats. I'm preparing lifeboats. No, I'm not perfect, but I got a perfect book. No, I'm not perfect, but I got a perfect God. No, I'm not perfect, but I've got some perfect instructions and a perfect Holy Spirit, and I'm going to a perfect place. I've got some perfect guidance from a perfect God. No, I'm not perfect, but I'm telling you, as I prepare lifeboats for your life, whatever you do, don't cut them loose. When you crash, you'll have to float to shore. If you make it to shore, on little bits and pieces of a busted up life, because you cut the lifeboats loose. Don't allow your pride to keep you from the proper lifeboats of life. Don't cut the lifeboats loose of other godly leaders in your life. You young people, you have a principal that loves you, that walks with God. You've got Christian school teachers that love you, that walk with God. You've got Sunday school teachers and bus captains and youth directors and bus directors. You men, Brother Young, working with our men here in our church as our men's director. He's a good man, a godly man. What a wonderful opportunity. You listen to me, hard times will come and you're going to need the lifeboats of your life. If you're not saved here tonight, can I recommend something to you? You need to climb on the old ship of Zion. Say, what's that? That's Jesus Christ. There's a song, I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. If you're not born again, you need to trust Christ and climb into the old ship of Zion, and Jesus Christ will help you to sail home. That's to heaven. He'll get you there. You won't row yourself to heaven. You won't work yourself to heaven. You just climb into the arms of the ship of Zion, and He'll get you there. If you're a born-again Christian, you be careful what you do with the lifeboats that God's provided for you. Don't push them away. Keep them up close. You may just need them. Paul said, we're going to crash. I'm telling you. Ship's going down, and so are we. The men got ready to bail out. He said, no, stay in the ship. Stay right here in the ship. They did, but for some unknown reason, they actually let the lifeboats loose. And I say to you, you will have to float to shore on old broken pieces of your life, and some of you won't even make it, when the mistake that you make is you cut yourself loose from the lifeboats. The preacher, the church, other godly people, the truths from the Bible that you've learned, the experiences that life has given you, your parents, and you'll regret it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.